Thursday the 7th of February, the Chodeshah Adar Rishon, Rabbi Yehoshua Posen, what to do when your raincoat's been taken.
The thing I'd like to discuss today, as its title gives away, is something which happens quite often, to such an extent that somebody told me in Eitz Chaim outside shul on the notice board, there's a sign saying, well, the person who please took my coat, call up this number, and underneath the Torah ways add that what to do when someone takes a coat. But we're not dealing today with the normal halachas of Aveda. If you find someone else's coat or you find someone else's item, exactly what to do. Possibly you can do that once another time. The particular shayla here that I'd like to go through is, let's say tomorrow night, Friday night, I go to shul and I take my raincoat and I leave it up, and I say raincoat at the moment, we'll see rain as opposed to other coats, we'll see it on why there might be a difference. I take my raincoat and I hang it up on the hook outside shul, and I go into daven. I come up from davening a little bit late, and sure enough, my coat is no longer there. However, there is an identical coat put right in the hook right next to where my coat was. There's an identical coat. So I wait till everyone's gone home from shul. No one else claims this identical coat. Pouring with rain outside. Am I allowed to take this coat, which clearly has been switched with my coat, am I allowed to wear this coat home just for tonight? I'll bring it back to shul tomorrow morning and hopefully reclaim my coat. So that's the first point we're going to get through. And if we've got time, we're going to speak about a similar case. What happens when a person gives in his coat, lemoshel, to a dry cleaner who's not a yid? We'll see whether it might be enough in a minute. And the dry cleaner gives him back his coat, and he looks at the coat, and he knows this is not his coat. He goes to the dry cleaner, Jack, and says, this is your coat, it's got the same tag on, I haven't got any other coat that resembles it. This is your coat, and he knows, he's got no shadow whatsoever, he knows it's not his coat. It's a place that most of the people who use this dry cleaner are eaten. So is he allowed to now continue using this coat, Loilam Vayed, or do we say that no, at the end of the day, this is an Aveda, he has to put it on the side, and his coat, and unfortunately he lost it. So to start off with the first case, the Gemara, you have made copies of the Gemara. Number one, the Gemara, Rav Basra, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, third of the way down. Tana Rabbanan, Nischalfu Lei Kelim Bekelim Lebeis HaUmah. So the first case in the Brayta is actually a very interesting case. The Gemara says that if a person gives in, let's say, his talus to a Uman, let's say to a Jewish tailor to fix for him, and then he gets back a talus which is not his, it's somebody else's talus. Ha'izeh yishtamish b'hen ad sheyoveh halav yitleh shelo. He's allowed to use it until they come back and switch back the talisim. The base of Oval, the base of Mishter, is a lay ishtamish for him. If a person goes to a Shiva, or a person goes to a Simcha, a Chasna, and the Mephoshim say, who has him, the person goes to a base of Knesset, to Shul, then you're not allowed to use the coat which has been put in place of yours. Actually, you have a halavit leshalan, you have to wait till he comes back and gives you your coat, and you'll give him his coat. Maishna reishna, maishna seif. Ask the Gemara, obvious question, what's the difference? If in a case where you get back your talus from the Uman, then you're allowed to use the wrong one. Why are you not allowed to use the wrong one when it's left outside shul? Omer Rav, have you seen the kamei zechachichi? V'omal ni, v'chi eino adam osu leima le'uman mecholi talisi? So, this is a very unusual term. Basically, the Mefarshim explain that when it comes to a Yiddish Uman, we bear in mind as a definite possibility that it could be that this Uman was asked by one of his other clients, do me a favor, sell my talus. Right? As the one said, to people never ask an Uman to sell their talus. Apparently in those days, Uman made a bit of money on the side also with Mecca Chomemcha. So they said, can you sell my talus? So what we worried about, we're worried, and let's say I give my talus to the Uman, the tailor to fix. Reuven gives the tailor his talus to sell. And by mistake, the tailor got mixed up. And instead of selling Reuven's talus, he sold my talus. And therefore, he knows exactly what he's doing now. He knows he's in a bit of trouble. He sold my talus to someone else. So, and he's ready. He gives the money over to the Meicher, to Reuven. So therefore, what he does is, he intentionally gives me Reuven's talus, with full reshus from Reuven, full reshus from himself. I mean, Reuven's using this money which he got on the sale of my talus. And therefore, they intentionally give me Reuven's talus, because, so to speak, as for me to use in the meanwhile, until they manage to swap back. So then there's no problem of using someone's chepet shelo midah, because one can assume, the Gemara says, one can assume that they know, the woman knows 100% what he's doing. Then the Gemara makes a couple of clauses. Says the Gemara, Amar Achiv Reiz of Nachum, Leishanu Elohu, Aval Ishto Yibon of Loi. That's only the woman. The woman himself, we're not worried that he'll get mixed up. They don't get mixed up, they know what they're doing. Well, we don't have to yet assume that they get mixed up. So if he gives you someone else's talus, you can assume that that's what's happened. But his wife and daughter, they happen to, you know, be standing in the shop for a little bit and they give you the talus, they can start to get mixed up. So then you have to worry that it's the same thing as with the shul. When it gets mixed up, you're not allowed to use someone else's talus. Le'oman el'ezoman e'talis stam, and even with the uman, that's only if he says, here's a talus. Avo talifcha loy. Why? Ha'ilav talis idehu. So if he says, here's your talus, then you don't. Because we're not cheshish, he's actually going to lie. In a chanami, we are cheshish, he's going to give you a talus without telling you it's not yours. But we're not cheshish, he's going to say, this is your talus when it's not your talus. And therefore, if he says, this is your talus, then Mitzaka has to assume that he, this particular case, he did get mixed up, in which case it's the same sin as with a shul, or with a shiva, with a simcha. That if you get mixed up, the Gemara says quite clearly, you are not allowed to use the item which has been left in the place of yours. We pass the night down in Shulchan Aruch. The Chabad says in Shulchan Aruch, Cheshmishu Atzim Kuf Lamazvav. So in Sif Aleph, which I haven't copied here, he brings the first case of the Ummah, when Tachet Mutzim. Interesting to note, by the way, that the Shulchan Aruch brings this halacha in Cheskas Metalkin. Dealing with when a person has something which they've got, which if it's theirs, it might be theirs, when they can claim ownership, etc. The Rambam lists this in Hilchos Geneva. The Rambam Mamish puts this as a case of Geneva. Says the Mechabin, Yitzchav Lo Yikelov, the base of Ovel, the base of Misha, the Sif base, Lo Yishtamish Bohem. Full stop, straight into one line, Mechaber. A person goes, comes out from shul, so I come out tomorrow night, I found my raincoat, it's not there, there's an identical raincoat be put there, I'm not allowed to take it. I have to walk home in the rain, I can't take this other person's raincoat. Why? What's that? What's the obvious reason? Because you have a cloud, Shor Shlemidas is a garden. Shor Shlemidas, if you use someone's chafetz without their knowledge, without their permission, then you're over on Geneva. Lemaisa. The whole shaila here, the chlal doesn't start if there wouldn't be an identical raincoat left in its place. If Lemoshla, I come out from the shul, and my raincoat's gone, and it's pouring with rain, so I look around the cloakroom and I find another raincoat. No shaykhus to mine, there's no question that that person took my one. He obviously left his raincoat here during the week. Then there's no shaykhus that doesn't come into question that I'm allowed to take someone else's raincoat, because that's poshut shor shlemidah. Here, the havamina that one will be allowed to, and we'll see, tachar le'asim, placing the ramekel, the tzad to be mekel is, because in this particular case, he's taken my coat, shulei birushus, causing me to be left without a coat. So therefore, what can one assume that just like he's using my coat, I'm allowed to use his. We're so to speak, exchanged each other's coats on a short-term basis, and he's happy with that, and I'm happy with that. Well, I'm happy because that's the situation I'm found in, but I'm happy that at least I should be able to wear his coat. So therefore, in such a case, is that a tzad to be mekel? But there's no shaila, if there's a definite possibility that he hasn't swapped and that this is coming off his coat completely, then it's Saka Osir to take. So Amor continues. So Amor brings now a truth from the true tradition. So sorry, this is the translation. Here Amor says, interesting point. Normally we're not choshesh for Gneva Vaveda. That means that if I come out of shul and I see an identical coat where my one was, right? We don't have to be choshesh that, oh no, my one must have got stolen by someone or got lost, and this one is from someone else completely. We're not choshesh, it's not so shchiach to happen. So therefore, I'm entitled, without calling it a moriheta, I'm entitled to assume that it's taka the same person who took mine, whose coat this is now here. However, says the Amor, so what happens when somebody comes back to you? So you learned this halacha in the Mechaber, right? So you don't wear this raincoat. But now, you take this raincoat home, let's say. You didn't realize. You took it home, and then all of a sudden you learn halacha. So finally, you put it on your hook at home, and you put a sign up in shul, the same sign which is in all the various shuls. Whoever took my raincoat by mistake, please call me up. And someone calls you up, and he comes round to get his raincoat. And he's empty handed, he doesn't have your raincoat. So you might have thought that you can say, listen here, since I'm entitled to assume that whoever's coat this is, took my coat, so I'm holding on to it. I'm not prepared to give it up until you give me back my coat. Says the Ramon, no, there's no such thing. If you don't know, then you're allowed to assume that this might be the same person, and then there might be enough minutes. But if a person walks in, you know the raincoat which you've got on your hook is not yours. You haven't got a shine about it. And someone walks into your house and says, it's my raincoat. So again, well, they'll have to give some money, and that's an Ashur Saveda point. But if I ask them, he walks in and says, it's my raincoat, so you've got no right to hold on to it. And then what's Taka say? What happened to your raincoat? It happens to be this person, Punk, forgot his raincoat in shul. He didn't take your raincoat home, and your raincoat was taken by someone else completely. That's halacha zamol. Now the halacha continues. V'chein kiveses akum, v'chabeses l'rabim, v'hevi l'echad she'ene sheloi. So Amod is the Shumas Hadeshin, says similarly to the halacha will apply in the case when a person gives in his clothes to a dry cleaner who is not his, and the dry cleaner gets them mixed up and gives you back to someone else's. We're not cheshish here by the dry cleaner who's not his. That's not fair. He's done this whole shtick that someone wanted to sell, and that's all what's happened. And here we can straight away be cheshish that it's got mixed up. And in such a case, says Amod, the same halachas will apply, you're not allowed to use it. If you've got time, we'll come back to the Prosim. On the case of the dry cleaner, there are such exceptions there, which we'll see the Taz, Machlekes, Taz, Tzeis, and Tzivus. But first off, with this first point, which is extremely shchiach, what does one do? So, might say that from the Gemara, from the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, they all passkin across the board, there's nothing to talk about, you're not allowed to use this code. Along comes the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan comes up with a chiddush. The Aruch HaShulchan says that, bizmanenu, in the times of the Aruch HaShulchan, what happened was, the easiest scenario to picture this is if you've ever been, if you went to when the Square Rebbe was here, or you go to your store to different places of Tishrei, you see there's thousands of people there, right? There's thousands of people. What happens when these thousands of people walk into one place, and it's pouring with rain, and they've all got their galoshes on, so some people might keep them on, but some people take them off. So they take them off, and they all dump them by the front door. So you walk in, you see a pile of galoshes there. So there's Aruch HaShulchan. In my days, the minhag was, the people weren't mopped. Right? Even if they had their names in it. They weren't mapped. He doesn't say if they had their names, but the mashmas is tough. Even if you know that the ones which are taken are not yours, and you know whose they are, but the minute people weren't mapped with, they came out from shul, they grabbed the first pair of galoshes, they put them on, and they went home. And then whenever they met the person whose galoshes they're tough taken, they switch them back. So it's Aruch HaShulchan, because that is the minute, since that's tough the minute, the people are not mapped with in switching things with each other. So therefore, the halacha is that there's not a problem, there's tough not a problem. Now, okay, fine. Now, I mean, Aftam, when you see this Aruch HaShulchan, it's not interesting. What does he mean? What's he trying to tell us? Is he just trying to tell us that there is a case where you can have an exception? Or rather, is he picking the case of galoshes? And who are the other things? Who are in a coat? Who are in maybe even a hat? How far does one take this? They might have to bear in mind that one's going completely contrary to the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, and all the Neis HaKeinim here. So one has to be a little hesitant. So along comes the Moshe. The Moshe here, the Moshe Chelik test. And actually a true which was written to Diane Krauss in Manchester. So there's a number of points. The point that's going to get to us is point design. He says as follows. So the shayla is, Mamishah shayla, Mishalokach v'shoigig beis ha-knesses mi'il, it's slightly different. Mishalokach v'shoigig beis ha-knesses mi'il she'ene shaloi, v'chozav lei motzei shaloi. So here's talking about one stage later. You didn't realize, you start to walk out from the shul, you see this coat, which is exactly where you left your coat, looks exactly like your coat, right? You put it on, you go home, and then when you get home, you realize it's not your coat. So what are you meant to do now? Are you allowed to continue wearing it or not? Whether, because you've already put it on or not, makes enough difference. Let's see. Says the remission, so he throws in a coat, galoshes, and he goes back to shul, and he doesn't find his anymore. So obviously, if he goes back to shul and he finds his, then there's nothing to talk about. So okay. He had no right to wear this because it was never swapped. He's the first person in our scenario. He's the one who's put on Yenna's coat, Shalikadin. But if he goes back and he doesn't find his, you're not allowed to use them. There's no difference between a chasna and a shul. The minig in large places, mokim shirab misasim shom, where there's a lot of people, and they're still polite, they leave their galoshes outside in the corridor. When they come out, they switch each other, they're not mapped on who they put on. Everyone wears each other's. Now here's the interesting notion. Actually, Yisroel ponim u'machlifim es atzmus. So vice versa, they know that they're taking other people's. It's not just pshat that they're all standard issue without any names, without any simonim. So then in a chalami one can understand a bit better. But he's saying you even know. You know you're wearing Yenna's, and Yenna knows he's wearing yours. But when you meet him, you'll switch back. And God's not sure at all on how this works, because if you're talking about hundreds of pairs, so the chances of the person who you've taken yours is remote. Right? It could be you taking one person, and someone else is taking yours. So here, basically, there's a communal switch. Right? There's a communal switch where I don't mind that one of the hundreds of people coming, whereas mine, if whoever I'm going to pick up doesn't mind I wear his. It's already taking this the case to another degree. So aim up with the Mishnah Mishnah Kolecha B'Shachar. Very odd. She saw upon him a makliv and it's not aim b'zeh chashash gezer shechein noagu. Says Rav Shulchan, fine. There's no chashash gezer. Now until Moshe came along, so that was the Aruch Shulchan. You ask anyone in Talocha, yeah, there is the Aruch Shulchan. Does it apply? How's it? Tasha she speaks to Shulchan. Says on Moshe a chiddush. U'mashma shalei rak al iray mekaymus asmuchin leikas hazeh, ela astam mekaymus kishalei yedua minik acher amazeh. Says Moshe, massive chiddush. That from Rosh Moshe Hashulchan, Enoch Rami says this is the minik here, but he doesn't write this is only the minik here. He writes this is the minik here. So that means if you go somewhere else where they have a different minik, fine. But if you go somewhere where there's no established minik, then one is allowed to assume that that's why the Aruch Hashulchan is writing this halacha, right? The Aruch Hashulchan doesn't have to come along and tell us what the halacha is when you have a minik, because if you have a minik, that's the minik. So right, this is coming to tell us the halacha of when there's no minik. That's how Moshe learns Aruch Hashulchan. Now this is even bigger Kiddush. Even though Aruch Hashulchan was speaking Dafka about switching galoshes, why is Aruch Hashulchan not specified? By the way, this minig is restricted to galoshes. He doesn't write it. So right there is what in the Gabi coats and other things as well. Masha shegamba me'il who minig zeh. Things which people mix up with much more often with type of galoshes. So that's the case, you right? But really, who has in coats, who has in other things? However, says the Mishnah, Abu Hurak Bastam, Shetalinon, Shahayezah, Atois, the Chiluf. Shurak actually knows that Klum. This whole halacha, as we mentioned, is only as long as you don't know that somebody else took yours than that which this person belongs to. So you're unable to assume that the things which you've got belong to the person who took yours. So in the end of the day, if someone turns up, with your coat, and he says, someone comes up for the coat which you've taken, and he doesn't have your coat, then there's nothing to talk about. You have to give him back his coat, and you've lost out. Now, there's a most interesting point. So what happens now? I took home Yenna's raincoat. I wore Yenna's raincoat. I don't know that lochas b'chlal. My raincoat was taken, so I take home Yenna's raincoat. I get home, I wear it for a few days, and then all of a sudden someone sees a sign, they call me up, and they come to get back their raincoat. There's a Moshe, if there's no minig to be moichel, then the person who I give back his raincoat, not only is I not get my own raincoat because he doesn't have it, I have to pay him rent for the fact that I used his raincoat for many days. He never gave me a shoot, he never lent it to me. So if you use someone's kefetz without permission, unless there's an established minute that such a people are moichel, there's a moishel, and now this person is mamish messed up. He doesn't have his go, and he has to pay rent for using yenus. The ash shohei le rishus leishtamish. Now here, when he says rishus, he means rishus based on the minute. Even though the minute was, he was allowed to use it. Hu machwa shayinu tzolim shenizkalfu. That is because we assume that they mixed up each other, they switched around each other. Kefi arayz leishchichi kenever arayz osashom. Al kishnispare shaloyo yuchalipin, ela the shaloy nikna v'neva. But when we can establish there was no switch, just his was taka lost or stolen, v'hu ishtamish v'shal achirim, then yesh shalim, he has to pay. V'chirim shaloy kosta b'Aruch Hashulchan, gam ozeh is a minute, mistabish itof v'shalim ma'ashanene. Since Aruch Hashulchan didn't write, no, nice people are meichel the money that you used his coat for a few days, he doesn't write that. So like this, the minute is taka you should have to pay. Just before we finish, by the way, this itself is shver. Moshe himself is shver on the point we pointed out earlier. We pointed out that the case of Aruch Hashulchan is not talking about one person switching with another. It's hundreds switching with each other. So that means, like we said, that in order to understand Aruch Hashulchan, one has to say there's a collective mechila. That means that it's irrelevant whether the person whose coat or galoshes I've taken is the person who's taken mine. As long as between us all, we're not much with the moshul. Moshe wants to say that Aruch Hashulchan applies to coats as well. That means whenever goes hangs the coat up outside shul, everyone is not mapped with whether you take your coat and he'll take his coat. There could be five people switching coats. So So when somebody comes to you and asks back for his coat, you don't have to pay him. Why should you have to pay him? Why? Because he didn't take your coat. But Aruch HaShulchan is not going on a one-on-one basis. Aruch HaShulchan says that communally, we all let each other use each other's coats. So Aruch HaShulchan doesn't have to write. And the Moshe asked, Aruch HaShulchan doesn't write that there's a minute that you don't have to pay, therefore it means you have to pay. But okay, so Aruch HaShulchan writes clearly, and they're all mixing up each other's, and they all aren't mucked on each other, so obviously nobody minds if you wear each other's coats. Don't know. Okay, that's a separate problem I'm coming on to. First, I'm trying to understand what Moshe says. That's a separate problem with Moshe. The Chalal, our coats are comparable to Gloshes. Well, let's come to that. Wait a second. Abel, machmas shaminig le nimsa ele Baruch HaShulchan. Now he does acknowledge that since this minig is not found anywhere till the Baruch HaShulchan came along, and Faket, all the Shulchan Aruch and the Kenu all say it's offer. So yes, vaday mekayim shelekim minig. Moshe acknowledges there must for sure be places who don't have this minig. Abel tev lehanig zeh bechol makim umakim and they Rosh Yaakov. Faket, it's kedai to establish this minig. Yefaris muzeh lechol amisbalim betchilas tatakona. When you should talk spread it around, you cost of our pinchas takonazu, so here you find the makor for those who want it. The takah the minhagim should be written down in a book, and that gives it more of a kaya. The gam cost of al eden naya dovuk the makom shvadikim b'chol inyonim. You put on the notice board the mizdamim beisakneses place where whoever comes into the shul sees it. She'oz yeshvili sheyezu kazeh kol anichnosim beisakneses af oirich ba'koy. Even a one-off visitor walks in, he sees on the notice board. By the way, in this shul, we're all haimish with each other. We let each other use each other's coats and hats and shoes and whatever you want. And therefore, they know that when they walk in, if they're not happy with that, they should daven with their coat on. So that's what Moshe is saying. Now, the problem is like this. First of all, Moshe himself acknowledges that till Aruch HaShulchan came along, no one mentioned this minik. And if the minik is taka faket, then there's no problem. The shaila is that Moshe writes, when there's no minik, then one's allowed to swap. So on the surface, looking at Ramesha, it would seem I go to shul tomorrow night, I hang up my coat, and assuming that there's no established minik that each person has to, you know, they're marked with, which there's no such thing as an established minik as such, neged Aruch HaShulchan, mashmos Ramesha would seem to be, I come out from shul, someone else's coat is there, I'm allowed to switch my coat with someone else's coat, which is neged, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, the Gemara, everything. Now, there's two problems here. First of all, the Aruch HaShulchan is talking about galoshes. Galoshes, I don't know exactly how it was in those days, but even nowadays, there's not much in it. Right? As far as I know, they haven't yet started bringing out different styles of galoshes. So galoshes are galoshes. If you leave a galosh outside shul, there are hundreds and hundreds of galoshes. The only difference may be the size. I don't even know if there's a difference in size. There's pretty much standard issue. Akaponim, so galoshes are galoshes. So therefore, it's extremely mistaken that there's no kapazah. Right? Because it's standard issue. A person doesn't get emotionally attached to his galoshes. However, when it comes to a coat, when people go and buy a coat, they'll spend 20 minutes looking at the size, the length, the colour, the cut, everything. Right? There's a million different things that go into a coat. You watch people when they come out of shul, they're standing there, they're looking through all the coat, they can tell exactly the difference between them. Galoshes, you have to spend hours finding in a pile of galoshes which one's yours if it doesn't have a name. So therefore, it's extremely not likely to say that people are not muppets when it comes to their coats. People are definitely muppets when it comes to their coats. But Moshe himself acknowledges when there's a minik faket. So Pashas Messias nowadays is that there is a minik faket. The minik faket is that some of the other nowadays are definitely muppets when it comes to their coats. Sheva Alevi takes this even one step further. He's writing the Tshuva Legabe slightly different point. But he says even Legabe hat, he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan, he passes like the Aruch HaShulchan, even Legabe hat. Now I don't know, maybe it depends on whether he's dealing with Yeshiva Rochim or Valabasim and Chesish. But hats, I would definitely assume that people are muppets on their hats the same way they're muppets on their coats. The Lashon Shev HaLevi, it's in Sun Reish Lamechet, Chilek Vov, Shun Lamechet, Reish Lamechet, says the Shev HaLevi, brings the Aruch HaShulchan, in a thing called Mishon Shelech HaShachaberi, says the Shev HaLevi, v'chein, I didn't copy this, v'chein re'isi, Lemaisa kva harbe pa'onim. I've seen this many times. Befrat is malazer sheshchiach she'ein bnei odem makpidim klal. It's extremely shchiach that people are makpid. In kein gam beishlamchus kai gavna shleimidas leimi kagavim koi shikotak shadayin leishlamch. So he's acting like a gabei hat. I don't know. Maybe in Bnei Brak things are different. But upon him, halacha lemaisa, it's extremely difficult to allow these shittas. So going negative the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, the Neis Kenim, everyone who came along. The Messias is when it comes to a coat. when it comes to a house, people are definitely makpid. And if people are definitely makpid, that means even if it's pouring with rain outside, one is not allowed to take someone else's coat and walk it home. Where there is a tzatzu mekel, possibly, where there's a tzatzu mekel is an umbrella. If one has umbrellas, now here, Tzaka, one sees a lot more umbrellas also in all shapes and sizes. If you go to Yerushalayim, you'll see in outside most shuls, there's a standard issue, long black umbrella. They sell them all in all the corners, and that's everyone walks around with. They're all the same. People put their names on it, but they come out all the same. Akaponim, if you have azar strong, the reason I say strong is because the smaller umbrellas are Tzaka weak, and some might be better than others, so Tzaka, there might be a kapazah. But when you have a good, strong, big umbrella that looks exactly the same as the one which you have, then Tzaka, it could be domus galoshes, so people are not muffled. If it's pouring with rain, and here's why I spoke about a raincoat initially as opposed to summer coats, which is to keep the person warm, there's another tzad to be mekel. The Knesset Zolah in Shulchanot, we haven't got time to go through it.
If the person belongs to him, you won't be makpid.
No, that doesn't help. Unfortunately, that's our halacha summer, when it comes to using other people's things. If you know they won't be makpid, there's still only certain cases, much less than people think. Otherwise, a person has to ask for this. To such an extent that there's a halacha when it comes to tzedakah, if you go to somebody's house and his wife or daughter give you tzedakah, then the essence, how do you know that he's really makpid, they should give you tzedakah? It's a similar point. How do you know that? So a small amount, like a voucher or something, one's allowed to assume he's given instructions. But if the mashal, a woman is to give a large amount of stocker to mashulat, and even if the reason she's doing it is because she holds that her husband doesn't give out enough stocker, it doesn't make a difference. It's not her money to give out. If I care, a person is not allowed to take it. One has to be worried. Is a person muppet? If he might, one person has to have proper rishus. There's a kesra kochim here. There's a Kesar Kochim, which we haven't got time to, if you want you can look it through later. The Kesar Kochim, the Etzem is Machmi. The Etzem holds the same thing where a person cannot use. And he's talking about a case, the Kesar Kochim is talking about a case where a person came out of the mikvah, or the Beis HaMerchat, and someone had taken his shoes. Someone had taken his shoes, never. And there's another pair of shoes sitting there next to where his were. So is he allowed to put on the shoes, or does he have to walk home in his socks? So he, the Etzem, is Machmi, but then he brings, it starts to be made for that because he creates a seksek, which is interesting how it works. We can't go back to that now. But he says there's a tzad to be mekel if it's a mokum tzad godel. Now, all that is only if it's also coupled with something which a person is probably not makpid on it at all. So actually, when it comes to umbrellas, where people, mustoma, are not makpid on them, if it's like a pouring with rain, there'll be a mokum tzad godel, one can add in, one can be mustar, the shitta of the keter kochum, and be mekel. But otherwise, some in the case, the person comes along, have a coat, have a hat, outside, even though there's been taken, even though there'll be mokum tzad godel, pashas, there's no mokum tzad mekel, and the person has to leave it, and have to put up a sign, obviously, after whenever a person can, to try and get it back. Just in 1 minute, I'm going to attempt to tell you the second halacha. The second halacha, the Taz, says on the second halacha with dry cleaners. The Taz says that even though the Ramah brings it from a Truma possession, it's really in fact a Modcha. And in the Lashon of the Modcha says that if the dry cleaner gives you sheets that really belong to someone else, the reason you can't have them is because the Bailim, the original Bailim, is running after the dry cleaner to get back his sheets. So therefore you can't take, says the Taz, so the Modcha's Mashma, that the whole reason is because the Bailim is not Miyash. But what happens if you take these sheets? You take them home, you leave them in your cupboard because the dry cleaner doesn't want them back. He says that they're yours. And you go, no, you don't know what you're allowed to do with them. So you leave them in your cupboard, leave them there for a long period of time. So if it's been enough of a period of time that you can assume that the owner's been miyayish, then you're allowed to use them. Why? Because you can assume either the owner's been miyayish or that the dry cleaner's paid off. He's compensated the owner of these sheets, in which case now the dry cleaner's got a right to give them to you and you're allowed to use them. Great big place. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Why? Because we have our locker, the yish and shinu yishus, you first have to have the yish, and then you have the shinu yishus. That's how the Ramah passes. And the Chabah passes, okay, the Ramah passes, you need yish, and then shinu yishus. In which case, it doesn't help you leaving it in your cupboard. Once it's come to you, that's meant to be the shinu yishus. It doesn't help you leaving it in your cupboard, however long, hoping that only it's going to be yish. You need the only to be yish when it's at the dry cleaner, and then when he gives it to you, you've got yish and shinu yishus. Yeah, so now the kasha. Akaponim, the Nesivus comes along to answer. The Nesivus says that from the fact that maybe one can say that the Taz is talking about a case where a person lives in a small town, everyone gets to hear what goes on. So if the owner hadn't yet been miyayish, then you'll hear that this guy is cocking away. I gave him my sheets to the dry cleaner, I haven't got it back, he won't give it to me, he says he hasn't got it. So LMI, either the owner's already been miyayish when it's at the dry cleaner, or the owner's already been compensated when it's at the dry cleaner, and then you get it. Right? It doesn't appear in Salosh and the Taz, because the Taz says if it's by you for a long period of time. Now, if the Taz is talking about where the owner has already been Miyayish, then it can be by you 5 minutes, doesn't make a difference. Al Kapon, that's how the Nesivus learns. Halacha Lemaisa, the Aruch HaShulchan, just before this shtickle that we mentioned, the Aruch HaShulchan says that Eshel one can taka Yisemech, if it's by a person for a long period of time, the person can be Mekul. He doesn't explain the Kasha of the Ketos. Al Kapon, he says, if you've got it in your house a long period of time, you can Mekul. Kitz Shulchanoch also brings it down. He doesn't even write Eshel, he writes Mutzah. If you take something, if you get something, the Moshe, from a dry cleaner, from somewhere else, you have it in your house a long period of time, the dry cleaner doesn't want it back. So after a period of time, you can assume that the owner's been miyayish. What he does with the kasha of the ksoyis, I don't know. Well, kaponim that's how the Aruch HaShulchan and the kitz shulchanoch passing the Aruch HaMaisa, then after a period of time, the person is allowed to use it.